All right. Oh, wow, it started. Hi, everyone. First off, huge thanks to the organizers for having me here. This is my first FOSDEM. It's as chaotic as everyone said, but it's been a lot of fun going through everything. So I'm going to be talking about creating pathways that invest in new maintainers. This is based on a blog post I wrote before. I get it, I don't like to read either, so thanks for coming to my lightning talk. You can hear the blog post in spoken form. So my name's Abby, I run the open source maintainer programs at GitHub. So I care a lot about maintainers, about open source, and I do think that thinking about pathways for new maintainers is one of the most effective ways of thinking about your community and just where to invest and how to really build that up. So first, who here is a maintainer? It's a lot of you. Good job. Thank you so much for your work of maintaining. You're the backbone of open source. Just huge applause for the maintainers. Thank you. And are any of you solo maintainers? It's a couple. Okay. So I'm going to talk about a framework that I worked on when I was at Mozilla. So this is put together by a bunch of my colleagues there. But I do think a sustainable community needs a couple things. First, it needs a way for new people to come into the community and a way to level up within that community. I learned this the hard way when I was in university. And when you're running student clubs, there's this four-year cycle where kids are going, not kids, they're adults, where adults are going through, people are going through. And if there's ever a year where you're not recruiting first years or freshmen, then 4 years later, your club just has no one to lead it and it sort of dies out. So that's a bit of an exaggerated cycle, but it still happens in the real world. Like, people are going to stop working on this eventually, so you have to keep thinking about new people coming in and ways to replace yourself. So we're going to look at this mountain of engagement, and I'm going to talk through all these steps, and we'll talk about best practices for just moving people up these steps in a way that really helps people become new maintainers. So it starts with discovery. How do they first hear about your project? Maybe they're at FOSDEM or on a mailing list or something. Next is first contact. Do they join your Discord server? Do they star your repo? And then participation, maybe they start talking in the chat, start making issues. Sustained participation, they keep coming back, they keep making issues, they start making pull requests, start really doing things in the community. Networked participation, this is the one I'm really interested in, is when they start bringing others into the community. And then finally, leadership. And this can be as little as like hosting our next meetup, or as big as like maintaining the whole project. And you can really identify what you're interested in and write that out. So starting with discovery, some best practices. Have a public repository. I work at GitHub, so have a public repository somewhere. Some marketing is usually really helpful. Go to conferences like this, talk about your project, write on mailing lists, having an open source or free software license. And I'll say these first few steps, it's really like the basics of setting up your community. You'll know a lot of these things. I think after the first three is when it gets to really interesting stuff that I think a lot of people could benefit from. All right, so now that they've heard about your project, why do they reach out and actually start participating? And I find that most people actually join a mailing list or sign up for something because they're really excited about the vision of the project or the mission. Like, they're excited about what you're doing and they want to join in. So making sure that you've written that down clearly and like having as concise a vision as possible is helpful because then they can remember what they heard in your talk, go home, and then go join that and like look it up. Also having communication channels makes it really easy for people to first contact you. I know it's hard if someone just writes, oh, if you're interested in contributing, send me an email. And sending an email is such a high bar compared to like, oh, you can lurk in our, I'm a little jet lagged, so my words are missing, but lurk in our IRC channel. And then finally, like, have this stuff in the README, have a nice welcome mat for your project. So okay, so now that they've gotten in contact, why do they actually participate? And this one's interesting from volunteerism research. They found that people are 4 times more likely to volunteer if they've had a personal invitation. So if you meet someone who you think would be a good contributor, if you personally invite them, that makes them so much more likely to actually come and do things on your project. The next thing is be responsive. We found this at Mozilla especially. Depending on cultures, a lot of people like to request permission to join before actually joining. So we were sort of ignoring a lot of those requests. So just being responsive to things, even if it's something that you don't think is that important, really gives a nice signal that people like want to participate in this. And then the next three are around setting expectations. So having things like your contributing guidelines, a code of conduct, those public issues and pull requests, so people can understand how they're supposed to contribute to this, and what happens if they, like, the different ways that they can contribute. So with the code of conduct, making sure you also have enforcement, that usually means like good governance that works. And with the public issues and pull requests, they can see how the work is actually happening and how it's being built. So if people can see that, they'll be much more likely to actually participate than if it's behind like a black box. All right, so those first three, again, those who are like setting up the project, I think a lot of people have gotten really good at those three. But then when it gets to sustained participation, how do you keep people coming back? A big one here is, yeah, recognition. So just saying thank you. So this could be as big as like an award ceremony or giving out like your annual, I know like Google gives out like grants to different, I'm really jet lagged, different contributors for their open source projects. But it's really, don't forget a simple thank you. So just saying thank you to people makes a big difference. It makes them much likelier to come back and participate again. So after you get a good pull request, say thank you. And then, yeah, hopefully they can come back. And then I like this one, connecting to the mission. So Marshall Ganz, he's a political theorist. So he talks about this in terms of like political campaigns. So say you volunteer to canvass your neighborhood, and you go and do all of the houses in your street. You go to maybe 20 homes, and you go back to headquarters. You give them your clipboard, and they say, oh, thanks. And they like put it in the pile with the rest of the clipboards. That's not as motivating as if you go back to headquarters, and they say, oh, well, you got 20 houses. Let's add those 20 to the board. They do little tick marks. They're like, oh, look at this. We reached 1,000 people today. You helped us reach our goal. And then connecting that small work that the volunteer did to the broader mission makes a big difference of people actually coming back and being excited about what they're doing and seeing that they're actually making a difference here. So whenever you can connect to mission is really good. And then matching skills with interests. So trying to understand why people are coming to your project, what do they want to be doing, and helping them actually get that kind of experience goes a long way with sustained participation. All right, the one I was excited about, the network participation. Here's the, formalized mentorship is one of the best ways to get network participation. I know with mentorship programs, we're often really excited about the mentees, like these new people coming into open source, but I think it's just as important to have more mentors in your open source project, because these mentors are people who are onboarding others, and they're taking a lot of the, they're starting to get into these leadership positions, so actually giving them a role where they're bringing others in and helping onboard them. It goes a long way. And then also professional development opportunities. If you can give them certificates or like LinkedIn recommendations, that's really helpful for that networked participation. People get excited about this and tell others that they want to come. And then hackathons and socials are just like a low bar way for people to bring their friends. So if you have like a fun social, you can just invite, people can invite their friends too, and just encourage people to invite their friends. That helps them start being that networked participant in the community. And then finally, it's leadership, getting up to the top there. And again, I think personal invitation goes a long way here too. A lot of people are in a community and they're just waiting to be asked to be leader. So depending on how your project governance works, you can be asking someone to run for leadership, asking someone to become a leader. Really taking the initiative to reach out, because a lot of people don't want to step up themselves, especially if they're from underrepresented groups. So making sure you're getting invitations out. And then having that clear governance, so people understand who is making decisions, how do you become a decision maker, how do you stop becoming a decision maker, and like how are decisions made. If those are written out, it makes it a lot easier for people to become a leader. And I'll say a leader doesn't mean you're on that decision-making group. It can be something else in the project. But governance is still really helpful for people who want to step into leadership. And with this, I think just having that good value exchange, especially if you have volunteers as leaders, making sure that it's worth their time. And I'm a huge fan of like time boxing volunteer asks. I've definitely like been asked to be a maintainer for something. I say yes, and then I, like 3 months later, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But then it's hard for me to back out. But if it was time boxed, I just wouldn't be renewed. And I've just been like the worst maintainer for years because it was never ending. So make sure, yeah, I like that time box piece, and just making sure the value exchange is there, that people are getting what they want out of this experience, whether it's that professional development like we talked about, the connections, experience, to get that there. So here's an overview of the whole mountain. And I find a lot of people a lot of maintainers especially, like when you're starting a project, you're focusing a lot on those early steps, but then they often don't get to that like networked participation step. And I find you can get really burnt out just like saying thank you to all the people or like doing those personal asks to everyone. But if you have more mentors on board or more people in leadership in your project, they can take on a lot of that early step work too, so that you don't get as burnt out as your community scales and as it grows. So this is the mountain. Still 4 minutes left. All right, so here's a link to that blog post. You can read this in written form, and it links to a lot of the references I talked about. So I had the research on the volunteerism stuff and Marshall Ganz's work. And then it's a link to some of the materials that we put together at Mozilla that we use this in. So, oh yes, we just launched maintainers.github.com. So we're reigniting the maintainer community at GitHub. So if you're interested in this kind of stuff, if you're a maintainer and you want to be talking about this with other maintainers, there is a private community, so you can go there and join. There's a bit of a, it does a little check to see if you're a maintainer. And if you are, then you'll get an auto invite, or you can fill in a few questions, and then I'll review it and probably let you in. So huge thanks. Are there questions in Lightning Talks? No. Okay. But hi, I'm Abby. You can find me on Twitter or on Mastodon. Thanks for your time. And I put stickers on the edge of the stage if you want to grab some. They're in like little individual packets because I didn't feel like taking them out. So you're welcome to take a whole packet or search through and like take a sticker that you like. But thank you so much.